Alan.
Grez.
Here. And welcome to Rise of the Robots. Just before the start of the episode, just a quick reminder that if you want to hear our dulcet tones elsewhere, well, good luck finding it with Grez, because he's not on our podcast at the moment. He's mine! All mine!
Yep, I've actually just had the gag taken out of my mouth and the handcuffs taken off just so I can record this.
And meanwhile, if you want to hear me elsewhere, you can listen to the DCAU podcast, where Rebecca and I discuss DC animated movies.
And on the occasion, you can find me there. If you miss me.
I'm Alan.
And I am Grizz.
And you're listening to Rise of the Robots. This week, we are covering episode nothing of BattleBots Season 4.0. It's the Unaired Fights!
Call this one episode unaired.
So, yes, this is the episode that we're doing just before the final episode of the season, where we found there's a playlist on YouTube which is all the unaired fights that are currently available on YouTube from BattleBots Season 4.0. By our maths, that is 20-odd fights.
Yeah, give or take.
Of varying quality.
Yeah, there's definitely some where at the end of the fight I went, I see why that one didn't get on TV. And then some of them were like, how did that one not make it to TV?
Yeah, absolutely. One thing that doesn't help with some of them is, right, and I'll just do this as a general criticism rather than specific. So a bunch of these fights are obviously right at the start of the tournament.
Yep.
So there's virtually no crowd, and it's a different guy doing the announcing and also doing what could loosely be called commentary.
That still sounds a lot like Barrow.
Yes, apart from the fact that Mark Barrow at least has a bit of pizzazz.
Huxpa.
Exactly. So,
There's some of them where it's kind of interesting to watch, just in the way that some of these matches are so early on in the tournament that they're clearly 2-minute matches as opposed to...
Yeah.
The standard 3 minutes, and there's some where the hazards aren't even activated yet.
So we're going to run this in the order of the playlist.
Yep.
I'm not going to put a link on YouTube because I don't want the possibility that someone at the production team finds them. So I'd rather just leave them alone.
I think all this is, you know, above ground, but, like, I get what you're saying, but if you do want to find them, just type in BattleBots Unaired Fights, and then there's... Type in BattleBots Unaired Fights, and then there's one that says Comedy Central BattleBots Unaired Fights, and there's 96 fights in it. So that covers all Season 1.0 to 5.0, and if you're wanting to watch along, just find the ones that start with our first match being... Pursuer versus Dr. Inferno Jr.
So, yes, Dr. Inferno Jr. is the defending champion. It's a Wedgebot with a little robot man with saws for hands at the top.
I like him.
I love him. Pursuer, its opponent, is a cone-shaped robot. And...
with some pretty sweet paintwork.
Yep, pretty sweet paintwork. This map... is much like the crowd, virtually non-existent.
This match is a lot like the driver of Dr. Inferno Jr., because the first thing he says is, man, it's so early, I'm still tired.
And then his robot goes, cut me fuck, mate. Bye-bye.
And then it goes night-night.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they collide in the middle, and then Inferno drives Pursuer into the wall, and then Dr. Inferno dies.
Yep. So...
That's it.
A lot of the early matches in this playlist are Dr. Inferno Jr. I wonder who uploaded them. Speaking of Dr. Inferno Jr., we now get the two lightweight rumbles.
Yeah. Just one quick comment about that last match before we move on is because you mentioned that obviously Inferno was the defending champion. You would think that you would have this match on TV just purely for the fact to watch the champion lose. Like, just to kind of fill people in.
That is the one. We'll get to this next week.
Mm-hmm.
This is what frustrates me about early BattleBots. The reboot very much is better than this. But the amount of times you just sit there and go, there is no context given to any of the matches.
Yeah, stuff is just happening.
Yeah, it's just a list of battles. And it means that the times that they actually do sit and explain what's going on and give you context to where you are in the tournament, it's really frustrating because you're sitting there going, so you can do it. You just choose not to.
Well, we can discuss that more next week because I know what you're talking about, and it gets, even for the final episode, it's still a bit of a struggle sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
As you say, we move on to the first of two lightweight rumbles. So, we're told that the two winners of this match advanced to the Royal Rumble. So this was 2001, so this was obviously the Royal Rumble that featured Kane being in it for nearly an hour. And celebrity appearance by Drew Carey, and also Stone Cold winning. I don't really remember seeing any robots in that Royal Rumble. It's very strange.
I mean, the looks at what's actually happening is there are too many robots because they're cowards. They don't want like 30 lightweight robots in the one area.
Unless the two winners of this match went into the Royal Rumble dressed as Taz, and because it's two robots on top of each other, they couldn't comprehend, which is why Taz got eliminated so quickly.
Yeah, let's say that. I mean, it's the less said about Taz's run in the WWF when it wasn't the Royal Rumble 2000, the better.
Yeah. And you know what? I thought that was a funny reference.
I'm sure it was, but yeah.
Some people may not like it. Anyway, so your participants for the Rumble are Bulldog, Crusher, the Wedgebot.
Hulk Hogan.
Yes, thank you. I just wrote Ego Pundin.
Because that's what he says. But it's Hulk Hogan.
Skidmark, Locomotion, General Gow, Gamma Raptor, Snowflake, there's a joke in there somewhere, Dr. Inferno Jr., UGV Scorpion, Whirligig, Mouser Classic, Mecha Catbot, and Scrap Daddy Surplus.
Don't you mean Lord Mouser Mecha Catbot the 13th, the Chauncey?
In brackets, classic.
Oh. One day an episode of this podcast is just going to be coming up with the most ridiculous and long title, rivaling the bullshit titles that Idi Amin gave himself, level of titles for Mouse and Mecha Catbot. The main difference being Mouse and Mecha Catbot isn't a horrible evil dictator. Thank Christ.
God, then I thought my references were a bit
dark.
On the nose.
Yeah.
a bit niche. So, as goes a rumble, these are complicated to keep track of. So, why don't we both just say the lines of notes that we've taken for this? Maybe go do one at a time.
Yeah.
And then just see if we took like the same notes, because this could be quite funny.
Alan cannot do 13 robot commentary.
Whirligig is dead almost instantly, as is the general.
Which is pretty much the next note I have.
Okay.
I then put Gamma Raptor looks unhealthy. It turns out later, no, he's just playing possum.
Yeah. I've got that note a bit later on. I will get to it. Inferno slams someone, I think UGV, up against the wall.
Oh, there's an awesome moment where Dr. Inferno Jr. pushes both Scrap Daddy and Mercer Mecha Catfolt at the same time into the wall.
Surplus is actually looking kind of decent in this fight.
Yes, it is. At some point, something is ripped off the front of Mouse Mecha Catbot.
Mm-hmm. Gamma Raptor, that was hiding at the start of the fight, is now getting involved.
I mean, watching this fight, I do generally think it's Dr. Inferno Jr. is the robot that's pulling the most attention.
Mm-hmm. It was... And it obviously shows because the camera focuses on him and Mecha Catbot quite a bit.
I suppose Mecha Catbot's quite distinctive and colourful as well.
Yeah.
So it both of them are robots that draw the camera.
Draw the eye of the fan. Yeah. In attendance. So Skidmark comes in and hacks a chunk off of the side of Mouser.
Yeah. And I think, well, that's the last note I have is, who are the judges?
Okay. Right, I've got Gamma Inferno double team Skidmark sending him in at the wall, which I think kills him. Ego and Surplus have a spinning fight in the middle of the box. Mouser and Inferno, the clear faves, start to look a little tired and slow towards the end of the fight. But half a dozen robots remain at the end as we go to the judges. And the winners... advancing to the Royal Rumble are Crusher and Dr. Inferno Jr.
Which are two robots that are, let's be honest, fairly simple in their design.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think then shows in the next Battle Royal.
Yeah, I can't say that I noticed very much of Crusher throughout this fight, so I was a bit surprised that he advanced. But
I get the impression it would have been Mouser, but Mouser was badly damaged.
Yeah, well, as we both said, like, a massive chunk got ripped off the front, so maybe that hurt it. But we move on to the second lightweight Grand Rumble with the big hitters. So we have, well, Jesus, I say big hitters, and then I say slap him silly. One of these
Inferno
is not like the others. Dr. Inferno Jr.,
mm-hmm.
Pursuer,
the Rambe of the champion.
Yes, and they're standing right next to each other as well.
Mm-hmm.
We got Rambe, we got my boy Backlash,
which looks sexy as fuck this time. It actually looks like it's a properly constructed robot. The last time it's always looked a little bit toy-like.
Yeah. Yeah, like the toy of Backlash that I have on my shelf looks more legitimate than Backlash used to look.
Mm-hmm.
We have Tentamushi 7.0. Afterthought. Go on.
Tentamushi reminds me now of... So in Japanese culture, a tentamushi carries the weight of the world's bad luck in its seven dots, and that explains a lot about tentamushi.
It does, very much so.
Mm-hmm.
We have Afterthought, Low Blow, Hexy Jr., Daspot, Crusher, and Ziggo.
Instead of doing notes here, what I will say is it's quite clear that the main two robots in this match, for huge chunks of it,
mm-hmm.
are Dr. Inferno Jr. and Hexy Jr. Hexy Jr. takes a Backlash very early on. So many robots just get yeeted by Hexy Jr.
My heart. When Backlash just got... He got, like, yeeted as well.
And there's this awesome moment where the crowd start going, right, Ziggo! Right, Ziggo! Yeah,
I think Ziggo was stuck against the wall or something, because yeah. It just goes to show all these robots are going at it, and then the crowd go, free Ziggo, free Ziggo, and then you're like, seriously? Like, you must have, your heart must have sank when you heard that chant. Like, oh, my robot's not good enough for you. Like, that you want Ziggo back.
And then once Ziggo arrives, it does fuck all. And just randomly, you turn around later and it's flipped over.
Yeah, like, they free Ziggo, it spins up, the crowd goes insane, it bounces off a robot, which does really severe, I think it's Hexy D. Let's see. Yeah, it rips the face off of Hexy Jr., and then that impact was so powerful that it then flipped itself over and somehow bent itself right in the arm. So it came back from the dead, bitch slapped someone in the face, and then killed itself.
And again, it's one of those things. What happens is, because Dr. Inferno Jr. and Hexy Jr. are the two most exciting, you're like, right, it's definitely going to be one of those two robots.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of the match, and I do find this quite funny, Crusher, which is obviously a qualifier from the previous Rumble, and Dr. Inferno Jr., which is a qualifier from the previous Rumble, are the two remaining along with Hexy Jr.
Yeah. And with this one, it's the crowd vote. And bear in mind, this is for a giant nut. So we end up with the three teams, as you say, Crusher, Hexy Jr., and Dr. Inferno. And the crowd vote for Dr. Inferno Jr. to win?
I mean, one of those two, it was always going to be one of those two, because they're the only two that really do anything interesting.
I mean, yeah, but I'm just more talking about the actual performance in the match. Hexy D, like, probably eliminated about, what, six or seven robots just on his own.
Oh no, like, I agree. Hexy D should have won, but
because Inferno didn't really do anything of note, and like unless he was there, but I don't know. I thought Hexy D was, or Hexy Jr. was very much more spectacular.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, I am not the fans.
So,
Dr. Inferno Jr. wins a giant nap. Good for him.
And that ends the Dr. Inferno Jr. collection.
Yes, but now
we get onto the Psychotron collection. And yeah, I really don't get how this robot doesn't appear on telly.
Yeah, like, some of these fights are pretty fun.
Well, you can tell me, who's always been at, no, I like a well-driven robot more than I like a destructive robot.
Which is why we make a good team, because I am the opposite.
Yeah.
I feel like if this podcast had a subtitle, it would be The Ballad of Psychotron. If you want to fill us in on who Psychotron will have in his first of umpteen fights.
So its first opponent is Outlaw, which is a wedge. I mean, it could be, well, they say its name is Outlaw. The announcer doesn't seem very sure.
This is one of these strange matches that I was referring to earlier, that's like very, very early, to the point where even the hazards and stuff aren't really on.
Out of all the matches, it's the most dull. It's two robots kind of flitting around, and I mean, it's,
yeah, the clock doesn't even work either.
Yeah, Psychotron wins 24-21. It's not really that much to write about.
Right, so the thing is, it shows the photos of the two robots before the match begins, and it shows Outlaw with, like, an overhead kind of flail spinner thingy.
Yeah.
So when it comes in with a little flappy bit of metal, really, really kind of took it out of us a little one's like, oh. Yeah. Yeah, the match goes the distance. 24-21, judge's decision for Psychotron.
Yep.
And then we get Psychotron versus Strange Brew.
Yep. So Strange Brew, which is another multi-sided wedge spot, which is very, very fast.
Hmm. And it has a flipper. It's not very, obviously very useful in this fight, being that Psychotron can flip upside, drive upside down. So also, I think Psychotron does have a weapon. Like, I think it has its own little flipper. We just don't see it very much.
Yeah, absolutely. It's two robots without the most effective flippers.
This match, I thought, was probably the dullest. I feel like something actually kind of happened the Outlaw match, but Strange Brew, it's just a kind of case of the two of them very slightly getting under each other for a couple of minutes, and Psychotron wins 28-17 on the judge's decision. But why don't we take a short break from Psychotron matches, maybe like let him recharge a little, and maybe he'll come back with something a bit more interesting a bit later on.
Yep.
Because next up, we have Complete Control.
And its opponent is Village Idiot, which is a wedge with two enormous swords.
Yeah.
And how is this match not on telly?
Even, like, Village Idiot is the kind of one of those robots you always hear the name of, like, on other robot podcasts. So it's not as if, like, you know, it's not as if Village Idiot was, like, a no-name robot or anything either. But also just Complete Control is such a unique kind of robot. I'm surprised that not every match of Complete Controls was on TV.
Absolutely.
And especially this match, because when we get to it a bit later in the notes, I feel like Village Idiot was winning this fight.
Oh, absolutely it was.
Right up until the end. We started the match with Team Village Idiot driver saying, I'm about to get beat by my favourite robot.
Uh-huh.
Then there's like a series of like several, probably nearly close to a minute, where Village Idiot like sending Complete Control into the hammer, into the saws, into the wall. Complete Control then takes damage off the kill saws, and then just about 30 seconds left into the fight, as I say, like Village Idiot I think was winning this fight very much so. Village Idiot smokes and then just slowly grinds to a halt.
Mm-hmm.
It's enough that it goes to the judges, and the judges go 30-15 for Complete Control as the victor. And it's like, I mean,
the only thing I can think of is their argument is, well, when Complete Control skewered it, that's what actually caused it to grind out.
Yeah, well, at the end of the fight, one robot was moving, so yeah.
I do like as well, does that when the two robots actually get pulled apart,
mm-hmm.
there is this sort of, it's like looking like at something from like a gory horror movie.
Mm.
As just bits of
guts
just fall out as this weapon is pulled out of it.
It's almost like the robot equivalent of Terrifier.
Anyway, Psychotron versus Misty the Wonderbot, which is Sawbot. Speaking of gory,
mm-hmm.
Oh, Psychotron is relentless here. Somehow it goes to the judges, but even though it's gone to the judges, it is just both robots are bleeding out by the end. Misty the Wonderbot is dead.
Oh yeah, like both of them are like literally limping into this judge's decision.
Yeah.
I thought Misty was a pretty decent little robot. You know, it very much reminded me of like a very early. Oh my god, I forgot his name. Oh no. Oh god. Bunny is the captain of the team. It's a current robot, current BattleBots. What is his name?
Soulblaze?
No. It's black and has like a red spinner most of the time.
I know the one you mean. Anyway, we're running out of time.
Yeah,
we're taking
sorry.
A while on this. So 31-14 victory for Psychotron. Psychotron's definitely one of the stronger robots, one of the better driven robots. Though by the end, it looks like it's starting to high side a bit.
Yeah, like the wheels are in tatters and all that as well.
I mean, Misty definitely made it bleed, but. Again, another match, I'm like, no, this should have been on telly.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I feel like the driver and Misty look very concerned, like, going into the fight.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, this one was a really good one. I don't understand why this one wasn't on TV. There was the one part where Misty, it had its little caster wheels stuck in the kill saws. And then they just got eaten by the Kelsars. Like, that was pretty grim.
Oh, it's... That's brutal.
But, yep, 31-14, as you said, Psychotron, again, moving on. This takes us to the Alabama Slammer versus...
Sunshine
Lullabut.
Alabama Slammer is a flipper very much in the mould of Biohazard. Sunshine Lollibot is a vertical dispot. It is enormous for all. I think these are middleweights.
Yes, I believe they are.
That's one thing. This order does seem to kind of go lightweight, middleweight, heavyweight, super heavyweight. As it should.
Yes. Obviously, Alabama Slammer, like... Whenever I'm covering those matches of this robot, I'm just like, Alabama Slam! Very a la Alabama Man from South Park.
It's interesting, because when I think of Alabama Slammer, I think of Hardcore Holly.
How do you like me now?
Not at all.
he wasn't the worst wrestler in the world.
He got his own neck broken for his own stupidity.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong there.
I do love... Sunshine Lollibot's team's captain's costume is brilliant.
I'm just more like... I'm looking at it right now and...
It's very Macho Man.
Yeah, that's the first thing that I thought. And I love how, like... The robot has like clearly one of those crowns you used to get from like Burger King, like on like either side of it. But yeah, like I totally feel you with the Macho Man style outfit. Oh yeah, indeed.
Unfortunately for this match for Sunshine Lollibot, it's a oh no.
Oh shit. Yeah, because... The saw dies quite early on, and then there's a point where it almost gets itself like high centered on its own weapon chain because it's that big and thick.
Yeah, and then there's this huge chain in the middle of the floor, and at this point you're sitting there just going, "Oh, this is Alabama Slammer's match to lose." It then proceeds to almost lose it. Because Wabs, so at first it's doing really well, it's getting underneath, it starts patrolling around with Sunshine Lollibot just hung from its arm.
Yeah, it's just like hoisting it up like, aha, here's my trophy.
And then it suddenly goes, let's just randomly drive over every killsaw, drive under the pulverizer. And I actually genuinely think Alabama Slammer's saved by the bell.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's dead in the last 5 seconds.
Yeah, because I wrote, they both slam at the wall, Lolly drives away as Slammer barely limps as the fight ends.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're right on that. Like there was a sketchy moment there where Alabama might have almost killed himself.
Yep. So.
So it does go to a judge's decision, 33-12
yeah,
for the Alabama Slam. Hey, Alan, me. Do you like Psychotron?
I do like Psychotron.
Well, here's another Psychotron match, this time against Eraser. Don't you want me, baby?
Well, I do like the fact that you have a spike and a drum spinner.
Mm-hmm.
Kneeler is really effective, but I like that you have them.
It's nice that you have them.
Yeah.
I mean, it is... Also, I'm not sure if that was an Eraser song or not.
I mean, this is very much a match of... It's the robot with the weapons that do damage versus the robot that's a lot better controlled.
Yeah. Significantly better controlled.
Yeah, because Eraser manages to penetrate the floor spikes.
It's not the first or last time that's going to happen where a robot's weapon gets jammed in the floor, but yeah, the only kind of thing that Eraser done in this fight was kind of nicking Psychotron slightly with the drum, which I was convinced half the time wasn't even actually working. But that was really the extent of it. It was Psychotron again with a judge's decision, 27-18, gets the victory. Psychotron was not on TV, was he?
If he was, he was maybe a match. I don't think he was.
Yeah. Because
which I'm is a thinking, shame, because genuinely, it's such a well-driven machine.
Yeah, like that's what I was gonna say. Is like a couple of these matches, I definitely would probably have had on TV over some other matches.
Yeah,
that was none of them come to mind right now. Probably anything that maybe involved Maximal or whatever the fuck that robot was called,
or Ogre as well.
Yeah. Yeah, like
slapping or heavy metal noise. I didn't like a lot of heavy metal noises matches.
Oh well.
As someone, I think it was as much my hatred of anything asymmetrical.
Well, if you hit heavy metal noise, boy, do I have a match for you next week. What? But that's for later. Yeah, isn't heavy metal noise in the last episode?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Yes, it gets absolutely fucking molested.
Oh no, that match is fine.
Yeah.
Oh no, that match is fine. That match we're okay with.
Mm-hmm. Right, just try to get back in the zone.
Before we do that, however, we have the next one is Alabama Slammer versus the Wedge Spinnerbot of Twin Paradox.
It is a paradox.
The paradox being, how did Alabama Slammer not realize that driving into a spinner was a bad idea?
This was nuts, this one. Like, it was...
Considering how much BattleBots likes to have their one-hit kills.
Mm-hmm. It's... The thing with this is it's the exact same thing with Mo as well, is I look at this robot and go, this looks flimsy. This looks like it's going to do absolutely nothing. And then it kills a robot in one hit and I go, well, I was wrong.
Yep. So
because yeah, that's literally what it is. It's Alabama comes up, whiffs a flip, and then Twin Paradox just turned around and blam, just that one hit, and just Alabama just drives off and slows down to a neat and perfect little halt.
Yep.
He did.
Hi, Alan here, just taking a quick break from the action. Grizz and I would like to thank a couple of the people that made this podcast possible. First, we would like to thank Greg Watt for the logo.
Our theme song is also by Technomax. You can find their music online at YouTube. That's just search for Technomax.
That's Technomax, spelled T-E-K-N-O-A-X-E.
So, we get a middleweight rumble.
The participants for the middleweight rumble are Summoner, Sabotage, Psychotron,
yay!
Malvolio, T-Rex, Heavy Metal Noise.
Yep.
I was waiting for a reaction, to be honest.
I'm trying not to.
2925 Jackrabbit. The Alabama Slammer.
Yep.
Turtle, Roadkill, Bad Attitude, Huggy Bear, and T-Minus.
This is another one of these. Oh, there's a lot of chaos happening. At some point, there is a chain just randomly in the middle of nowhere. T-Minus spends the whole fight making stuff fly. Unfortunately, huge chunks of it is itself.
Yeah, it's like T-Minus is very, very fun to watch very early on in this fight, but after it uses like the 20 flips that it probably has in that gas canister, and then realizing there's still about 3.5 minutes to go, it's a long shift for T-Minus.
Talking about long shifts, here comes Huggy Bear. Not Huggy Wuggy, as I keep wanting to call it.
Scary.
There's this brilliant... At first you go, oh, the armor's come loose, it must have been hit. Then you realise, no, the armor was gaffer tape going into the match. Also, the most effective arena weapon is the corpse of Huggy Bear.
Oh, yeah.
Two different robots get stuck on top.
Including your boy.
Oh no, my boy!
Father, help. because Psychotron, it got stuck in the most bizarre way. Like, it just perfectly balanced, wheels just off the floor.
There's another robot gets stuck.
Like inside.
Heavy Metal Noise, that's who it is.
Oh, there you go.
And because Heavy Metal Noise, look, by the end, Heavy Metal Noise looks like it's about to die. Its wheel is coming off.
Likely.
It's been flailing about. I also have a note here. Summoner ends up battling T-Minus at one point. Does really well until it gets flipped.
Yeah.
Everyone has a plan until they're punched in the face.
Yep. At one point, T-Minus loses a wheel.
Yep, T-Minus loses... Bad Attitude takes its tail... Takes T-Minus's wheel off.
Yeah.
And T-Rex is also there.
That very much worked for what I was about to say. We get five finalists, yep. You know, varying degrees of
crowd
effectiveness. But yes, T-Rex was also there.
Because there's this awesome vote. So they do the crowd vote thing again.
Right, so it's Summoner, Alabama Slammer, T-Minus, yep. Bad Attitude, and T-Rex.
Also, did Turtle Roadkill actually move? At all?
Maybe.
It wasn't moving by the end. I mean,
who's to say?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Jim Spintowski should just stick to creating machines that have giant Soz, because
well, that worked seem... out. That worked out really well this season for him as well, didn't it?
I mean, would you argue that it did worse?
Well, no. Literally, so far the matches we have seen Jim Smilkowski in this episode that we're recording, is it getting bit slapped in 30 seconds and it dying off screen.
Well, the matches in this episode, yes, but I mean, like, I just feel like you know, Breaker Box and Turtle Roadkill, they don't tend to fare very well. At least like Nightmare and Backlash have a fighting chance.
So the crowd participation, someone is not going to get it. Alabama's not going to get it. T-Minus gets cheered really hard, so I'm sitting there going, yep, they've just gone for the flipper because it's spectacular. Then Bath Attitude causes the roof to blow off.
Yeah, I was like absolutely shocked by that. I was like, all right.
And then the last one, they go, and T-Rex!
Creep, creep. Three.
Oh, at least the T-Rex team takes it in style. Oh,
they take it on the chin, like being punched with a cinder block, like because they do that thing as well, where they raise their hands up, going "Come on!" and then they realize nobody at all like cheers for them, and they go, "Oh, okay, thanks." I felt quite bad because if anything, T-Rex probably did more in the match than Summoner did.
Yes. Speaking of punched in the face by a cinder block.
Yes. Very good segue.
Decimator, which is an Axe-bot, versus Mo.
Yep, this match does not last long. And as
it
I kind of
goes
to
the judges, I think.
Yeah, it does, surprisingly, but like,
I mean,
the damage on this like is baffling that it actually does, but you know, it limps into a decision, but. As I alluded to, like, two matches ago, when it comes to, like, Mo's weapon, it just always looks so flimsy, but then it hits a robot and actually, pun intended, decimates them.
Yep.
Because the first shot, like, completely dislodges something at the front. The second shot takes off the tip of the axe.
Yeah, that's...
Of Decimator.
Yeah,
and then
Decimator was like, I've got a chance, I've got... Ow. And what I do love as well...
And it was venting CO2 as well, so...
The whole time that this is happening, the... After a while, you just hear... Because there's no commentary, you can hear the Decimator team... And they are begging Mo to keep hitting them.
Yeah. Please keep hitting me so we can take this to a decision, because my robot's clearly dead. And it's like, why not just die with dignity?
Because there are still bits that I want shredded off.
Because the thing is, like, he does die, and then Mo hits Summoner again. Not Summoner, I beg your pardon. Decimator. It has Decimator again, and then it actually starts moving again, so it literally got bitch slapped back to life at one point.
Yep.
So, yeah, obviously, Mo takes it. We don't hear a judge's decision in terms of, like, the numbers or whatever.
Yeah, but...
But... I think it's pretty easy to say Mo won that one. And if he didn't, then I quit robot combat.
Absolutely. which I can't afford because we've got 400 more of these motherfuckers to do. We did the maths again.
Yeah.
We managed to catch up 30, which means at the current rate, we'll be done in maybe 10 years.
Yes.
By the time that we finish this podcast, Elon Musk will have killed another social media company. That's how long we've got to wait.
If Elon Musk wants to buy us out, I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah, Elon, give us 44 million. We'd lose it far less quickly.
Wasn't it part for billion?
So 44 billion, even better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, virtually none of it is cash.
Jesus.
So, Tazbot versus Botulizer.
Or Aces and Eights.
No, please, we do not need to be reminded of the worst of the insert generic invasion factions here.
Hey, they had great theme music, alright.
So I did Gangrel, didn't mean it was good.
Fuck you. I seen Gangrel win a championship in Las Vegas. And I screamed like the 5-year-old that I am.
So, Tazbot is so hard to fight.
Yeah, like, this is the thing, is like, there's these two matches of Tazbot that happen, and it's like, not very much in these matches happens, but do you know why not very much happens? Uh-huh. Is because Tazbot is that incredible at defending itself, and...
Yeah.
And just the, because it's more like I'm just watching like the robot and all the like little things that it has. Like, it's got the tilted wheels, which we know Donald loves because he has continued with that style throughout his robots more currently. But then he's also just got the other weird little things like curved spiky bits. And then obviously he's got the 360 turret flipper device.
Yep.
And as I say, like, not very much really happens in the fight, but it's because like Tazbot is just so good at like defending itself.
That it's just,
and absolutely, like, it deserves to win this. Like, Botulizer. Yeah, sure. Let's go with that. Botulizer is just... Okay, I'm going to say it, Alan. I'm going to say it. It's a boring push, but...
It is. No, it is.
Don't hate me.
No, this one is. This one is, to be fair.
Yeah, and... he can't do anything. He literally cannot do anything against Tazbot. It just bumps into it. And because Tazbot's also very strong as well... It doesn't really get pushed about very much. Just, man, Tazbot is, like, so unique, and I am so beyond excited the fact that it's back.
Absolutely.
Right, question, did you leave the squeak in?
Well, if you'd listened to this week's episode, you would know.
Well, I haven't, because I was there. I've already listened to it.
I will warn you now, there is a trigger warning on that particular episode. Content warning.
Yes. Because there wasn't a trigger warning at the time that happened, and I almost blew my fucking eardrums out.
I know.
But it was at least nice that, like, to see the excitement. Like, genuine excitement. So... 27-18 for the judge's decision, as Tazbot beats the Botulizer, or Aces and Eights as it's called at the beginning of this match on the match graphic.
Yep.
So it's one of those two robots.
So the next match is a quarter final in the heavyweight tournament. And it's a good match. It's really quite tight. It's really a nice battle. As Tazbot takes on Slam Job.
Yeah, Slam Job, I think, has been a bit of an underrated robot. For the few times that we've seen it fight.
Yep.
So Slam Job comes in with the Axa a few times very early on. It even gets to a point where it pins Taz up against the wall. But then the axe head ends up Then the axe head, the Slam Job, ends up getting spun around, so it's like facing the opposite way. So it's almost like it's like axing itself.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Slam Job just then kind of resorts for the rest of the fight into trying to push Tazbot about. And
Tazbot's able to get to its side very easily.
Mm-hmm. Because the thing is, like, this was a really close fight. It goes to the judges again.
Yep.
And I didn't think Tazbot really got, like, a lot in on this. I could see it going either way, obviously, but just Tazbot didn't really get too much in the fight. I guess, again, it just kind of goes back to what I was saying of, like, he's really good at defending itself. And that's probably what racks up points.
Yep.
So Tazbot wins 24-21. So it's a really, really close decision.
And yeah, I agree. I think that was a perfectly... I can see why it went the way it did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but again, like as you said, this is a quarterfinal match. And if this wasn't on television, like I feel like this one... really, really was quite a good little match. And yep. I don't understand why it wasn't.
So, we then have a heavyweight rumble, which is a qualifier for the Royal Rumble, which we don't get to see.
Yep, I was trying to see if I could find it elsewhere.
Yep.
No such luck.
Do we even know who won it? Because I'm assuming that it's rumbles that account for so many of the robots that we see.
It accounts for a lot of robots winning giant nuts.
Yes, which we then don't see.
Yeah. Like, that's why these ones I find really bizarre, the fact that they didn't air these on TV if they were, you know, giving people giant nuts as a victory, but nevertheless, sorry. Well, we're just getting it now. The participants of said heavyweight consolation rumble, we start off with Junkyard Offspring, that's already like falling apart.
Yep,
like the front of it is just mangled. Junkyard Offspring, we get Gold Digger, Killer B, Little Sister, Voltronic, I-Beam, Omega 13, Frenzy, Green Span?
Yeah, Green That's Span.
Yep, cool. I had a question mark after that because I wasn't sure. Frisbee and the Towering Inferno.
Yep. So Towering Inferno has inflatable hammers. There's this weird moment where all the robots pause.
Yeah, like it was focusing on Little Sister at the time, and Little Sister started to reverse, and then it just stopped dead. And I was like, oh no, please don't tell me Little Sister just died again. Yep. And then it shows like the full arena, and just every robot is stopped. And
what was it called? It was a few years ago this happened. The Mannequin Challenge. That's what they were doing.
Ah. Wow. That's a hell of a reference. I'll give you that. I completely forgot about that.
Yep.
Yeah, Frisbee works as the arena hazards in this fight because it kind of it loses drive early, but just still remains spinning the entire time. So I think like some robots try to push other robots into it.
Voltronic seems to be look, every time you look at the controller, he is moving stuff about. But I can't remember seeing Voltronic in this match.
Yeah, you know what? I'm looking out for him right now, and I don't see him either.
Yep.
Like, I'll keep an eye on that as we round this up. I don't think Little Sister flew through even a single flip in this fight. But which, all who seemed to be really aggressive.
Yeah, which I think helps it. Meanwhile, at one point, I have here, Frisbee's doing well until it remembers it's a Brian Nave bot.
It's like, oh, I'm going to win. Oh, wait, I was built by Brian Nave.
Towering Inferno at one point, its hammers are still moving, so it's flailing about wildly, but it's not moving.
Yeah, it's just doing what it can do.
Frenzy's doing the free wheel of doom.
I feel like we haven't seen a lot of Frenzy this season. That does disappoint me.
And it becomes very clear there are three robots in this match that are left, which is Omega 13, which is a team that's obviously doing very well in Rumbles. By doing nothing.
Yes.
Gold Digger and Little Sister.
Yep, so out of those three, two advance to the big rumble again, which we don't see. We could probably find out the result of said rumble.
Probably, but not tonight.
By using a certain little friend of the podcast website.
I don't think it has Rumble results in when I've looked.
Oh, doesn't it?
Doesn't appear to, no.
So, Gold Digger, like, near the end of this fight, looks super tired, and it's trying to do its, like, spinny move, which is kind of the whole point of the robot, but it just has, like, zero momentum.
Yep.
But the match ends, Gold Digger and Little Sister then advance to the big boy final.
Yep. Because Omega 13, that team does not do well because they just kind of mill about in the background. And yeah, at one point I'm sure I see John Reed on the floor for the post match wrap up.
Yeah.
So anyway,
wonder why he was there.
We found out something really, really annoying.
That being?
The new quality matches that we saw on TV were the bad ones.
I mean,
because we get two good ones and one meh one. So, we get New Cruelty versus the worst named robot in robot combat history, and I'm even including the one that was called Anthrax.
No, it wasn't. Shush.
It was when they recorded. So, New Cruelty versus Alcoholic Stepfather.
He's gonna beat you.
They should have, like, literally they should have went, well, you dominated the fight and the other robot's on fire and missing a wheel, but we are not going to say that Alcoholic Stepfather Fala wins. So
yeah, because look, Alcoholic Stepfather rocking their Omni wheels in this fight.
Yep.
It's a quite interesting robot. Its weapons are two swinging hammers, very a la Dissector.
Oh, this is very much a case of, can we get Dissector when we have Dissector at home? Dissector at home.
Yeah, it's Dissector from Wish.
So, it's a really interesting fight. One thing as well, the wheels on Alcoholic Stepfather, one that
go
you
round and round, round and round.
They make an awesome noise, but they have no grip.
No. Yeah, it gets pushed about really easily.
Mm-hmm. So it goes to a judge's decision, and the Alcoholic Stepfather loses. As yeah, should be the case.
I think, do you know what the worst thing is? Like, when the wheel falls off of Alcoholic Stepfather, it wasn't even from like an impact from New Cruelty. It just turned and the wheel just falls off.
Yep.
And then as New Cruelty strategy and some of these earlier fights go, it gets you into the corner and just rams you until you can't be rammed no more.
Oh yeah, yeah, and it is just this moment of kind of, it's like watching a Goldberg match. It's just like,
yeah, just spam spear.
Yeah. Or like face Roman Reigns match.
Yeah, oh, Jesus. Yeah, watch any of his WrestleMania matches when he was a face. it's just that. Spear, Superman punch, spear, Superman punch, nothing else.
Yep. He doesn't even have five moves of doom. So, we then get New Cruelty versus Steel Rain. This match does not last long. In all seriousness, this match... rather than any of the other New Cruelty matches we got, this might have been a good one just to have, like, here you go, this robot's really devastating. Watch it pummel a robot into dust.
Yeah.
Even though it's one of those things of, I'm not going to tap, I'm not going to... Oh dear, I have no face.
It's the equivalent of passing out as opposed to tapping out.
Yeah, I'm not passing out. Oh dear, the inside of my nose is touching my brain.
Oh no. Yeah, this one does not last long. Yeah, I also agree with you. Like, I feel like this would have been a good one to air on TV just to be like, because it does show like how powerful the robot is, that it can literally bash another robot into submission.
Oh, that's absolutely, yeah.
Bonk, bonk, bonk. Just bonk. I genuinely feel like by the end of this fight, I think the spikes that were on the outside of the arena were probably inside the steel ring.
Yeah.
So, that... I know, I mean, I made a joke that's like, oh yeah, we have like a whole bunch of New Cruelty matches to watch as part of this, and it's like, yeah, you're right, like, these ended up being the good New Cruelty matches.
So, we do get a break from that for Dissector versus The Probe.
We remember The Probe.
Yeah.
It ripped the face off that one robot.
And this is an interesting match, because despite the fact that the Probe has the most awesome escape method known to robot kind, as it just nopes out of places.
It just goes mental at one point and just rolls away. Like, I had in my notes that at one point I genuinely think that the drive of the robot died, and so the only way that they could get around the arena is to roll the entire robot.
At one point it rolls the wrong way and snaps a spike off in one of the kill souls.
Yeah, it gets stuck and like for like a good period of time, and then like it like it's like almost like relieving, like it's like that guy in that film 127 Hours where he has to cut his own arm off to free himself. It was I was getting flashbacks of watching that film when this happened.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because the probe started to be counted out when it had its weapon stuck in the kill saw slot, and with 2 seconds left to go, it snapped off, and that's what like released the probe, and it managed to get away, so the count stopped. But it didn't really help necessarily, because the probe does make the judge's decision, and the judges go 43-2 for Dissector, and it's like, that is big oofed.
Yeah, what did he get the 2 points for?
Showing up.
Yeah.
I guess the 2 points were for, you know, being active for the full 3 minutes, kind of.
Yep.
So our penultimate match of the evening was New Cruelty taking on Rammstein.
And this is a properly brutal match. This is, you know, it's when you sit there and go, this is a 14-wheel collision.
Oh yeah, so many wheels, so little time.
And there's this awesome moment where the two of them get into a pushing match, and Rams is like, I got it. And then New Cruelty rams Rammstein into the wall. And then there's this moment where Rammstein just keeps getting pushed, and it starts crawling up the wall.
See ya. Also, I was bit by a radioactive spider.
I mean, it is clear, watching this match, I actually have a note which is, this fight is over, Rammstein just keeps moving in it.
Which is quite on brand, that it gets the moves of Spider-Man, considering it's Team Loki.
Yeah.
Marvel. It was quite interesting to see like the Rammstein weapon actually work for once, though.
Yep.
But instead of it being like a piercing spike, though, it's more of a keep away stick.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, it's very much, it's a fight of, you can see why Rammstein loses, because it keeps on, getting, it's on the defensive the entire match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just, it can't do anything when New Cruelty, like, just shoves it about. It just has no comeback to it.
Absolutely.
Just takes it. Then the match ends with New Cruelty ramming Rammstein. Just repeatedly in the corner again.
Oh yeah.
Just seems to be its move. We go to the judges, and it's a 34-11 victory for New Cruelty. But again, much more exciting fight. See, if these matches were aired, I probably would have thought differently about New Cruelty.
And then you get the final one, where New Cruelty shows a level of tactics. Because what happens, right, so it's against Swirly does not get room to breathe.
No, the big old box rush.
And then it is, it's just like, right, into the corner with you. Okay, so Cruelties are trapped in the corner. So new Cruelty starts to line up the rams. And then after two attempts, it goes, I keep catching my wedge on the ramp. If I go backwards...
yeah.
Like, you almost see Swirly going, oh, we're not going to be ramped to death yet. Oh, no.
Bang! No. We're going to get rammed to death by butt.
We are going to be smacked by the clap of New Cruelty's thick booty. Death by ass clap.
That dump truck of an ass.
Yes. And that's it, we've survived!
And that is it. Yeah. That's all the unaired fights that we can find, at least.
That we can find.
For
please don't make us look for any more.
Not until next season, anyway.
Yeah.
Well, you better have told me that this is recorded for multiple reasons, but also I'm about to delete my notes.
That's fine.
Cool. Yeah. Because if you were about to tell me that this wasn't recording, then I wouldn't be appearing next week.